I'm George Flynn. You're watching InDepth TV, and I have as my guest County Commissioner Willie Brooks. Commissioner Brooks, thank you very much for being here. We appreciate it. And first of all, for those in our viewing audience that might not know you, tell us a little bit about yourself. Where did you grow up?
Well, thank you very much, Dr. Flynn, for inviting me. And let me also thank you for the community service that you have done in serving on the County Commission.
I'm humbled
for the invitation this evening to kind of share with you on your telecast. I'm a native Memphian. I grew up in North Memphis, a graduate of Manassas High School.
Okay.
Came out of a single parent home. I have three sisters and two brothers. I'm married, have two kids, both who are adults. One works for St. Jude, it's Trey, who works in the IT department, and my daughter works for Shelby County Schools in the area of human resources.
Okay.
And I have two grandkids.
Two grandkids.
And two of them, and both of them are in college. One is at Berkeley up in Boston, and the other one, she goes to University of Memphis. So Solomon and Brianna.
Okay.
And I'm very active in church and in the community.
Right.
I'm a member of Kappa Alpha Psi Fraternity. I'm also the chairman of the African American Network at FedEx. I'm an employee of FedEx and work in the area of human resources. I've been with the company for over 30 years. I'm very engaged, again, in church. I'm a deacon in my church at Temple of Deliverance under the leadership of Bishop Milton Hawkins. And
now, was that Bishop Patterson's?
Formerly Bishop G.E. Patterson, who I started with him back in 1975. And I have enjoyed being up under his leadership as well.
G.E. Patterson and I were great friends.
Yeah.
I enjoyed every minute with him.
Yeah, he was a great leader, and he provided me an opportunity to serve in the men's ministry.
And he loved radio.
Oh, absolutely.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah, he has his own radio station.
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
WBBP.
BBP. Yeah. I know it. He and I discussed it quite often.
Right, right. So, as a matter of fact, we are honoring him on the 24th at FedEx, his legacy.
Right.
Through our African American Network program at FedEx. So, we're looking forward to that. But, again, thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate it. But you know, you came up, and what did you, where did you go to college?
I went to then Memphis State.
Okay, yeah.
Who now is University of Memphis.
And you studied what? I'm just trying to
study human resources. That's my major, focus on human resources. Believe it or not, what inspired me to get into personnel or human resources, as I indicated, I grew up in North Memphis. One of my first jobs was working for Fred Montese, which is down the street on Madison, 1620 Madison.
Right.
And I worked my way to the school, and I was just curious how people were getting hired from a personnel perspective.
Okay.
And didn't recognize that in the human resource profession, there are many disciplines. So I've been able to have worked in human resources in both compensation, employee relations, and recruitment and employment.
Well, this is an initial broadcast, and we have talked in the future, in the past about, and I'd like to talk to you in the future about how to write a resume, how to get an interview, how to conduct yourself in an interview, and you know what to do after the interview, and what to do when you get a job. So those are passions of mine to help people get jobs, and you have some inside information about what the factors are, why they hire you, why they may not hire you.
I would be glad to come back on your show and talk about it.
So already we've got him in for, we're going to have a series of this. But how did you get into the county commission? Tell us about how you got interested in politics or in that kind of area to serve people.
Well, I served on the school board a while back, and I had a passion for education, which really linked to my profession as a human resource person.
Okay.
Because I felt how, to me, education plays a very important role in economically how it impacts us. And if we're going to be successful, then we must have a quality education, but you must also have an understanding of what's required by the employer.
Right.
Okay, so education to me was very important. And then
so how long were you on the school board?
Oh, about a year and a half. I served out Pastor Lee Brown's
term
as a school board, and I thoroughly enjoyed working with Dr. Johnson,
who
was school board superintendent at that time.
Right.
But to me, it was bringing something to the table in terms of my skill set. And so when the county commission decided to go to a single district, I was asked by a representative, Touche.
Touche, yeah.
Thompson Parks recruited me to come in and represent District 6, which consists of Raleigh, Frazier, Nutbush, and a piece of Bartlett.
Right.
As you well know, we have 13 single districts. They all are divided by roughly 70,000 residents in each community. So he called me and I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I have enjoyed being on the county commission, working across Republican and Democrats.
Right.
We have a good commission, and it's been very enjoyable to me. And when I come to the table, I'm evaluating the issues based on my experience and knowledge of the subject and casting my vote.
How was your election process? Did you have a primary and then you have?
I did have a primary.
Wasn't that fun?
It was fun. There were 4 or 5 candidates in the race with me.
My goodness.
And I was able to secure 70% of the vote.
So you didn't have to have a runoff?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I did have a runoff.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, in the general election, because it was a partisan election.
Right.
So I did have an opponent, a Republican opponent, in the general election.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And so you won that.
Yes.
And then, now, how long have you been on the county commission?
I came on the county commission in 2014.
14. Okay.
And I'm serving my first term. Hopefully, I'm reelected in 2018 with your support, of course.
But all you got to do is everything right.
And that's my plan.
That's right.
I've stayed focused on the issues and listened to the concerns of the citizens that I represent, as well as the county at large. I've had a good relationship with the administration. So my goal is to stay focused, be positive, and represent the people that I serve.
Yeah, you mentioned you were active in your fraternity, Kappa Alpha Psi.
Correct.
And tell us a little bit about the fraternity, not the secrets, but just the fraternity, the general meaning and why you're in it and what it does.
I was actually asked to be in that organization as well. But the purpose of Kappa Alpha Psi is achievement.
Okay.
And in every field of human endeavor. So I was initiated into the fraternity in my undergrad years in spring of 77, and I served in leadership roles in the fraternity, such as we call poll mark, but president. Mm-hmm. I was able to charter another undergrad chapter on the campus, which is Kappa Beta. And then once I became an alumni member, I also served as the president of that organization. Mm-hmm. And then I became regional president. So I've been in leadership roles throughout the fraternity. And currently right now, I am the national vice chairman for the Sunday of Hope for St. Jude, which we raise funds for St. Jude across the country through churches.
Really? Okay.
And that was something I was recruited back in 2003 to serve on the Multicultural Advisory Committee. Mm-hmm. And through building that relationship and bringing it back to our fraternity, we were able to raise over $1.3 million for St. Jude.
I'm sure St. Jude appreciates it. And now, you've been on some boards.
Yes.
Tell us about the boards, and I'm just getting a feel for your community involvement. Of course, I've heard your name in radio, TV, newspapers, magazines, and that kind of thing, but I just wanted the people to get to know the involvement you've had on various boards.
Okay. I am presently the board chairman for Star Academy Charter Schools.
Okay.
I've been on the board for about 5 years. I am currently the chairman of Memphis Carroll's Mentoring Program, which is an affiliate of the National Carroll's Mentoring Program. And our primary objective is to recruit mentors to mentor underserved youth. And we refer them to the youth mentoring organizations in the city. We have a memorandum of understanding with Big Brothers, Big Sisters. Mm-hmm. I've also spoken to the superintendent regarding having mentors in the school system. A couple of years ago, we had a relationship with them through the Connect Mentoring Program, which at that point was Memphis City Schools.
Right.
And we were able to recruit 200 volunteers to go into schools and give up 1 hour a week, 4 hours a month, 48 hours a year to make an impact with our young people, to show them that, one, that we care, that we love, and the importance of them getting their education. And that can be through from attendance. I mentored 2 or 3 young men, and I tell you, it was a learning experience.
To but for both of you.
For both of us, yes. Because, you know, I really didn't know how important, well, let me say this. When you're in school, they tell you about reading and writing, and you never imagine how it transitioned to the workforce until you actually work a job. So I would go in and share with the young man, first of all, look, I read every day. I have to read memos, I have to draft communications, I draft emails, I have to use my math skills because I'm talking about people's pay and what their jobs.
Right.
I get into all of that. And I said, this is how important that the skills that you have in school are going to transition you in the workplace. And it has to be competitive. And I also talk about the number of occupation and jobs that we have in the company, which is over 2,500 different type of jobs, and how we arrive at how we determine what they're paying. So we get into those career opportunities, and it gives me an opportunity to share. And so this past week, let's say 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Memphis Cares, our 9th anniversary being in the community, and next year we will celebrate our 10th anniversary, and I'm looking forward to it. But we are anxiously out there recruiting mentors to mentor our young people, to give them some direction and some guidance so they can make some good choices.
Well, do you find in the beginning of the mentoring process that they just don't want to believe you and they just say, oh, I'm going to spend my time here? But how do you get across to them how valuable the educational experience is transitioning to the workforce? How do you get that across? I mean, you tell them, but how do they really understand and really see it?
Try to communicate on that level. So, for example, we know that young people have, particularly males, have an interest in video games,
right?
PlayStation, what's the other one?
Xbox.
And
I've got grandkids too.
Okay. and then when you get into the line of clothing, so I asked them, I said, realistically, you know, when you get up in the morning, how do you determine what you're going to wear? When you go to the store, how do you determine what shoe you're going to put on? What brand you're going to use? Mm-hmm. And so that let them know, start thinking, you know, whether I want a pair of Michael Jordans, mm-hmm. or do I want to go down the store and get me a pair of Converse, or do I just want to walk in TJ Maxx and put me a generic brand of tennis shoe?
Right.
Well, we know for the most part, young people like what name brand items,
they
right?
Do.
And so it's about making choices. How do you make that decision? I transferred it to, well, that's what employers do every day.
Yes.
Okay. And so employers make decisions based upon selecting the best candidate for the job that they need performing. And so when you make decisions, you're competing with your peers. And so when you talk about where you want to go, how much money you want to make, and majority of young people need to guide it, because when I talk to students in high school, and I said, what do you want to do with your life? What are you planning on? I don't know. Or a lot of young men would say, well, I want to be a basketball player. I want to be a football player. Well, everybody can't do that. And when you look at the number of athletes in the NBA or the NFL, it's a very small number in comparison to the number of college football teams that you have, mm-hmm. and high school football teams that you have, and basketball teams you have. So guess what? That's competition.
Well, and that's interesting that you would approach it like that with them, because they don't. It's hard to be real with the young people and not destroy their dream.
Right.
Maybe that's their dream of doing that, but how do you do it to tell them, well, this may be your backup plan?
Right. So with me, and I share with them that, you know, when I finished my, and I was the first in my family to get a college degree, when I received my degree, I had the zeal to say, I'm ready to go out in the workforce, and I'm ready to get this job and make some money. And when I got out there, I started getting these letters of rejection because I didn't have the experience.
Right.
And so what they did for me, it helped me to take on what we call a summer youth program, because I worked at the Urban League, and in the Urban League we had this program, mm-hmm. and I remember, you probably remember Herman Ewing.
Oh yes.
All right, I worked under him, and we had this program called Youth Employment Success, which is YES.
Right.
And it was a summer intern program where I went out and recruited jobs for young people in order for them to get a good experience and to get an understanding of what the real world is and what the prerequisites are to get into those jobs. I took that same concept, and when I went to FedEx, I implemented a program like that. And now I'm at the county commission, And we had a summer youth program last year and this year, and each of the commissioners selected 7 students, which is a total. We have 13 commissioners, so each one of them selected 7 young people to work during the summer. And I think roughly, when you multiply the number of students that we had, and they worked 37 and a half hours a week, but we had the number in terms of at least 1,500 applications of young people who wanted to work.
Right.
So they can make some good choices. So, in essence, if I wanted to be a lawyer, and I never worked in a lawyer's office, mm-hmm. how do I know what the requirements
right.
are?
Right. And how do you know what you'd really be doing?
Right.
And it's not just like a lawyer on TV.
Right, right.
There's some paperwork.
And then the other thing I learned is many times college young people would choose a career, say, when I get ready to go to college, this is what I want to do. And then after their freshman year, they change their majors.
Right.
The summer intern program helps them make those decisions on the front end so they can say, I've worked in a lawyer's office, I see what they do, I see what the skill sets are, and either I'm going to like it or I'm not going
right.
to like it.
Exactly.
But guess what? I have made a decision on the front end as opposed to it on the back end.
Spending a lot of time and effort and then deciding you don't like it.
Right. And so the summer youth program we have for the county commission, we tried to match their area of interest and mm-hmm. put them into summer jobs that would provide them that opportunity to get the exposure, to ask questions, and to work along people who have those type of jobs. And hopefully at the end of the 8-week program, they're able to make some good decisions about what they want to do.
When, of course, we'll put the phone number up at the bottom of the screen, when should they start applying for summer jobs?
I would think probably around the month of April.
Okay.
And certainly they can call 222-1000, that is the number to the county commission office, and get more information about it. But generally, I think we start accepting applications in April because the program actually start June 1. And
right.
so we have to be able to get the applications processed through staff and be able to identify employers to participate in the program.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of jobs are they? Because everybody's going to go, well, I may want one of those. What are they doing?
Well, primarily what we ask employers to do is to identify a job description by which interns can do. So it could be from doing administrative work, mm-hmm. clerical work, or it could be working in a place like this where you might have a young man who wants to get into TV productions.
Right.
And you place them in an environment like this where they learn how to operate cameras. And mm-hmm. so we had one young man who had an interest in music, and he got placed in a studio
yes.
to
okay.
learn about how to operate the equipment and all of that. So it varies, of course, and some work done in some of the administrative office within county government.
Right. But it's something that they will be able to do. It's,
right. We ask for them. We ask the employers to provide meaningful work experience mm-hmm. so they can learn.
Well, we have talked about one thing, and it seems like this is one thing government's doing right. What else do you see that government, whether it's local, you know, federal, state, what else do you see that government is doing correctly?
Well, we implemented, the county commissions implemented what we call a community enhancement grant program. This is in the third year.
Mm-hmm.
I would say second year. We do a community enhancement grant, which that's $100,000 per commissioner, $1.3 million in total, that allows us to provide support back in our own individual districts. And it's through serving students, adults, college students. So the various agencies that are doing positive things,
right.
we provide grants and build this partnership because no one commissioner can do it all by him or herself. So for me, my allocation was $100,000, and roughly that money was allocated to 25 agencies that are doing some positive things in the community that I support.
Right.
And for example, MIFA. MIFA provided over 40,000 meals to senior citizens in my district.
Right.
So I was able to enhance the grant opportunity so it could continue to serve people in my district. And then we also had Books for Birth. Well, Books for Birth provide books for infants.
Right.
And in turn, large number of youth, I say infants in my district, are being served with books, reading books,
right,
so they can begin reading at a much smaller age. So it's those kind of programs that we are doing to try, because as you well know, the first thing that our constituents are going to say, what are you doing in our communities?
Right.
And so this is an opportunity for each commissioner to say, we are providing support, we are providing services to enhance the lives of all Shelby County.
Now, the tricky question.
Yes.
What is government doing wrong, and what ideas do you have to correct it? It doesn't have to be totally wrong, but what could government do better, would you say?
Well, I think there's always an opportunity to make sure that we operate more efficiently.
Right.
We do more brainstorming to look at how we can be more cost-effective in the services that we're providing. And so we are constantly evaluating how we can do that.
Okay.
And yet maintain a no tax increase.
Right.
Because citizens don't want to see that. And so we was instrumental in this past year to pass the budget without a tax increase and yet provide support for our Shelby County schools.
It's harder and harder to do.
Yes. But it's important. Education is a passion of mine, and I want to make sure that we're providing support for the schools as well as school teachers, because the objective is you got to be able to attract and retain quality teachers in our schools in order for them to do a great job. Everybody wants to feel good when they come to work. People want to feel like they've been paid fairly for what they do. So we want to make sure that we have that at the forefront of what we are doing. I think pretty much that's, you know, where I am. I look for the best practices, you know, because of the company that I work for, we continue to change the environment, that we're always looking for ways that we can improve upon what we do in terms of services that we provide for our customers. So naturally for me, as a commissioner, I'm gonna use those same techniques and skill sets when I'm there at the county commission office of evaluating how can we do things better.
Well, and you've got kids and grandkids.
Right.
And on a state, local, federal level, what do you see the future is for our children and grandchildren, and how can we ensure that they have the best future? What can we do just as individuals?
Well,
it's very hard.
I think one of the best things that we can do is be good parents first. Secondly, I think it's incumbent on us that we create a succession plan by which we can provide leadership, direction, and guidance to the millennials and in order for them to be successful, to provide the tools and support there and to ensure that there is a legacy that they can continue to build upon going forward. And that's my mission, that's my goal. I'm not where I am just because of Willie, that I all of a sudden became this person who has this different skill set. I'm building on what other people created for me, that created the pathway for me to be where I am today. And I keep that at the forefront, that I want to reinvest what was given to me. I want to pass that baton on and make sure that I'm doing this what's necessary to make sure that our young people who come behind us are going to be successful. But with that, I must say, requires wisdom. So while our young people will become educated, they still must be able to look to us as leaders, because as I've always said, when I'm driving down the road, somebody that got down that road before, they may have hit a pothole. I don't want to hit that pothole.
Right.
All right? Yeah. So your guidance, your knowledge base helps me make decisions. You were the county commissioner before I walked in there, so you know some of the things that need to be done.
I remember when we started looking at that book program for the infants.
Yeah.
And people were scratching their head. Why would you want to read to an infant?
It's really important. It's just really important. So I'm just enthused about the impact that we're making on the county commission, and I applaud my other colleagues there who are working with us to make a positive difference in our community.
And one thing, if you, in your this term and probably next term, what would you like to see done under your guidance into the county commission? What would you really like the best thing? It probably has got to do with education, but it may be something else also.
Well, to me, economic development is so important to me, job creation, job development, and we got to look at how we can address public safety for our neighborhoods. That's a continuing right. process that we must do. The Operation Safe Community plan they rolled out with the DA, and we want to be able to support that. We are working with the Raleigh and Fraser Police Joint Agency to address public safety, and with, as well with the Neighborhood Association, so we can make sure that we got a healthy environment, but yet we're able to attract employers and create jobs in order that those who go off to school, they can come back home and make a difference in our community.
Yeah, well, you know, I see it all the time, and you do too. People go off, they get an education, and then they don't come back.
Right. But I think part of that is we got to have enough entry-level jobs.
Right.
All right. So when I came out of college, there were quite a few entry-level positions. I don't see many entry-level positions posted now. They say, you know, if I'm working on the Edge Board and I currently serve on the Edge Board.
There's another board here. What is the Edge Board? Help us out with that.
The Edge Board has the responsibility of help providing infrastructure and support for new businesses coming into the community.
So you're not only recruiting new people coming in or people coming back, you're recruiting new businesses.
Right.
See, we didn't even get into that. Now, come on.
So with that, we want to be able to say that we have the skill and the talent that will fill those job opportunities that these employers, once they relocate to the Memphis market, they're able to do that.
How do we get them? Do we go out and just say, come on to Memphis? Or how do we get those people to try to come?
From a business perspective, employers are looking for tax incentives to come into the city.
Okay.
And hopefully the incentives that's provided offset the jobs that are being created that will allow our people to go to work. So, with that in mind, and not only that, I mean, when you look at the number of, say, if we're going to improve public safety, you know, one of it is, it's a three-pronged approach. You got suppression, intervention, and then you got the ability to prevent. So, if you get an intervention, what you're talking about, young people who have made bad decisions, we got to have an opportunity for them to change their lifestyle. They got to have jobs.
Right.
We got to create jobs in order for them to get jobs, and hopefully going through that process would do that. You know, suppression is where you're out there, you're enforcing, which is what a lot of instances are being placed on in terms of arresting them and putting them in jail. Mm-hmm. But once they do their time, what happens? If we don't address that issue now, then they go back and they repeat, and we don't want that. So we want them to be productive citizens where they're paying taxes to right. help move our city forward, our county forward. And the intervention, prevention is the other thing. We want to be proactive with how we give more support for neighborhood associations.
Right.
When I came up as a young man on my street, everybody knew each other. In today's time, you may know your neighbor, but you don't know the people three or four houses down from
right.
you.
Right.
Right. And part of it's because we are busy working, we go into church, and we engage in activities outside of our home. But we're not doing anything on our neighborhood streets. And I think that would help reduce crime and improve public safety.
Well, you have given us quite a lot to think about. And remember, you're coming back. We're going to talk about how to get a job and how to keep a job and how to move up in the company. I'm George Flynn. You've been watching In-Depth TV with our great guest, Willie Brooks, County Commissioner, and we'll look forward to seeing you next time. We'll have him back. Thank you.
Thank you.